The Education on Mac podcast, number 22. It's August 24th, 2005. Good evening once again. This is show number 22, and I welcome you to the Educational Mac. This is Kelly Dumont, sitting in the southern end of the beautiful Salt Lake Valley. The weather has eased up a little bit for us, not like back east, I guess. We've cooled down a little bit. Had a little bit of rain over the past couple of weeks, some of the monsoon moisture from the Gulfs, and it's been actually fairly pleasant. Been attending a lot of softball games with my daughter and having some fun. So figured it was about time to get back on the board here and get another show put together. Got a lot I want to cover tonight. I'm still going to try to do it in under 20 minutes. First news is some site news. I did manage to finally get WordPress up and working at on the site. So the address for that, and this will be original, but it is www.theeducationalmac.com/blog. For right now, I'll be cross-posting between the old blog and the new blog, but eventually I will probably phase the old blog out and point all the feeds over to the new location. It was kind of interesting. I had kind of mentioned a couple shows ago that I've been beating my head against the wall a little bit with WordPress. Yeah, everybody does it, and I was struggling. I admit it. Well, I finally found out that the hosting service I'm using has a prepackaged setup deal for WordPress, as well as Moodle and some other things. And so I put in a little bit of information, clicked about three buttons, and the blog was up and ready to go. So I'm going to pimp my site provider here for just a minute. It is visaweb.com, and they really do a great job. I've been thoroughly impressed with VisaWeb services. I've gotten a couple emails from them apologizing for some service problems and outages, and I've never really experienced any with them. So I appreciate their concern, but more than that, I appreciate their level of service, because it is great. So anyway, the new blog is set up there again at the address I mentioned, and I am going to be trying to post more often. There's that promise once again. Okay, it's not a promise. I'm going to try. All right, back into it. A tough couple of weeks for Apple-related news in school systems in some ways. So let me cover the disasters first. And if you follow the Mac web at all, you're already aware of probably both of these. But since this is the Educational Mac, and I've covered both of these stories for several months now, I think we can about close the book on both of them in tonight's show. And I think I promised that last time, but tonight really should pretty much close it out. First, we'll travel back to Henrico County, Virginia. The last show I mentioned, they had finally kind of straightened out their deal, so they thought, with selling the iBooks. Had limited it to county residents, had taken the sale to a larger location, yada, 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 and as you've seen the news, none of that was of very much help at all. As for those 1,000 iBooks, they had anywhere from 5,000 to some estimates put it as high as 10,000 people show up. And the people didn't follow the rules that Henrico set up. Henrico had asked that no one show up for the sale before 7 a.m. Apparently there were people camping out as early as 1 or 2 a.m. For the 9 o'clock opening. And, of course, with 5 to 10 times the number of people than there were laptops, the mad dash ensued. The story's been covered to death in the Mac press and technology press in general. It was a top story on Dig Nation and on Dig a few weeks ago. So, I don't want to beat it too much. I did take a quick time rendition of the initial news report from a TV station in Richmond, and I have that posted on the site. I actually don't have a link. Well, I do have a link now in the show notes to that QuickTime file. The file was originally in Windows Media format, and so I use Snaps Pro to take a snapshot of it. I probably won't leave it up for too long, but if you haven't seen it or want to see it in QuickTime rather than Windows Media, you can give it a gander. So, kind of a nice, fitting ending to maybe Apple's involvement in this Henrico disaster. It's amazing to see something that was touted so highly 4 years ago and kind of see how it's ended somewhat. I did hear from my source inside Henrico County the morning of the sale, as soon as this happened, and indicated that they were glad that they weren't a part of the sale, obviously, and kind of posed the question, do you think people would have done the same thing for four-year-old Dell Inspirons? You know, $50 for a laptop is $50 for a laptop these days. I suspect they may have, but probably not. There are some reports coming out around the Mac web now as well about the condition of those laptops, and apparently, overall, they're not too bad. Some reports of people taking them into local Mac shops to add RAM or to have the iBooks checked out, and overall not in too bad a shape. So, if you were lucky enough, or if someone was lucky enough to get one of those laptops, I think they got a pretty good deal, even for a four-year-old laptop. Again, a disaster for Henrico, and we'll see what happens in 4 years when this next contract runs out. Hey, the second disaster takes us a little further east, or excuse me, a little further west and south to Georgia, to Cobb County, where this morning, or yesterday morning, I guess it was, the superintendent for Cobb County tendered his resignation. It was, not unexpected, I guess, or shouldn't have been unexpected. I just find it kind of sad that someone who is trying to do something right for the students has had it go so badly on him. The link in the show notes comes directly from a news station in Georgia. The superintendent's name was Joseph Redden. He defended his actions with the program as he left, but did say that this has become so divisive that, and he's kind of become a lightning rod. He felt it best to step down. And again, I feel bad that someone who tried to do something right for students has to have it end this way. And I think it'll be hard to get anything ever going in that direction in Cobb County again. So I personally wish Mr. Redden the best of luck, and also Cobb County, good luck to him. Okay, there's the disasters. However, on the other side, or the flip side of the coin, at least some school systems are getting it right. For example, several months ago I mentioned articles about a high school in Arizona that had a new high school that decided to open up without textbooks and instead to give their students laptops. At that time, we didn't know, or I didn't know, hadn't been able to find any information about what type of laptops they would be using. As it turns out, they did go with iBooks. Some nice articles around the web on this. In fact, it was pretty heavily covered, even in the mainstream press. It was in USA Today, and certainly in technology press, it was covered pretty heavily. So you can find a lot of resources. The article I've linked to is from Maximum News, which quotes an Associated Press article. It'll be interesting to see how that experiment goes. But at least they hopefully chose the right platform for that. Also, if you listen to Inside Mac Radio, which is a weekly Saturday radio show originating out of San Francisco, I believe, with Scott Shepard et al., they interviewed the technology director from Vail in last Saturday's show. So if you go to www.insidemacradio.com and look for the August 20th show, it's, I think, about two-thirds of the way through the show. And you can get a little bit more insight as to why Vail chose to, or Empire High in Vail chose to go the way they did. Okay. Another good decision, apparently made by a school district in North Carolina. This is the Chatham County Schools. They've started a laptop program. They've purchased 1,000 iBooks to give to teachers, and also started with some mobile labs in their schools. So kudos to Chatham County. And there's been a few other reports. I've got add them to my delicious feed, so I need to go back and track some of those down. But at least some of the school systems are getting it right. Okay. Next item on the agenda. Over at InforMinute, over the past month or so, there's been several articles about iLife and even a competition, kind of SmackDown type thing, two different views on iMovie versus Windows Movie Maker 2. So I've got links to that article. Actually, I've got a link to the iMovie versus Windows Movie Maker, the one that kind of puts iLife or iMovie on top. And from that page, you can find the link to the other point of view. So that was very interesting. Having worked with both programs quite extensively, even teaching a class using both the programs at one point last year, which I've mentioned before in the show, I don't see where the Pro Movie Maker article comes off so well. But the thing about these InforMinute articles is that basically they're designed to sell books as well. And so I think the writer of that article was the writer of a book on Windows Movie Maker, and vice versa for the iMovie Pro person, who's writer of a iLife or iMovie book. But one point that was not brought up in either article, and to me this is the most compelling thing for iMovie, or one of the most compelling things for iMovie over Windows Movie Maker, and that's the portability of the files. If I have a iMovie that I worked on a machine, and for some reason something has that machine, if I can get that file off that hard drive, I can easily transport it to another Mac and go right back to work on that file. Try doing that with Windows Movie Maker. You can't even find where it puts those files. So if you try to transfer that project over to another machine, forget it. It's not happening. Your best hope is to export it out to a DV tape and then re-import that into another machine. And that's something that doesn't get talked about nearly enough, I think, with iMovie, is the portability of those projects. Now, if you're trying to move those files, they can get fairly large, so doing it over network is not the best idea, but a portable FireWire drive does it quickly and efficiently. And again, I just found it impossible to do with Movie Maker. So that's, to me, probably one of the most compelling reasons why I like iMovie. Okay, one of many, but really one of the strong ones for iMovie if you're going to do a comparison between the two. Okay. Also in Informminute, and I've got a link to this as well, there's an article about a Windows version of iLife, and the author basically was trying to put together a Windows version of the iLife package, you know, cobbling together from different Windows programs. And basically, obviously he's able to come up with Windows Movie Maker for iMovie and a couple different things, things like Picasa and maybe Microsoft Photo Story 3 for iPhoto. Of course, iTunes is available on Windows. Talked about commercial DVD packages to compete with iDVD, and then of course nothing on the Windows side to compete, at least in that price range, with GarageBand. And so to me, the whole point of the article is there just is no comparison. And of course the huge thing with iLife is the interoperability of the programs. They just work together so well, and that's just never going to be done on Windows unless Apple decides to port those to Windows, which I guess with this Intel move may be at least a slight possibility. I hope not, but could be. All right. My rant of the week. Why do we Mac users have to keep putting up with this Windows crap? What do I mean by that? Well, how about our little latest killer virus that has basically taken down news organizations, several including ABC and CNN, plus several other organizations, and actually took down our district network for about 2 hours last Friday. Because people will not, cannot maintain their Windows machines. And I'm personally getting a little fed up at having to deal with their problems. You know, if they want to run those Windows machines and do the viruses and do everything they can to keep them clean, I don't have a huge problem with that. And again, our official district stance is we are a bi-platform or dual-platform choice district, which I don't mind. But I do mind when problems with the other platform starts affecting my machine. So I'm just get really tired of it, as I'm sure all of you do as well. Okay, rant over. I'm going to show. I highlighted a couple of blogs and a couple of podcasts. I'm going to continue with that this time. But I'm going to stick with one site and its companion podcast this time. And I'm going to focus on The Savvy Technologist. Now, The Savvy Technologist is Tim Wilson, who is a technology integration specialist in Hopkins, Minnesota, which kind of appeals to me since I've spent a couple years in Minnesota, so I need to maybe converse a little bit directly with Tim and see how things are going there. He is an Apple Distinguished Educator, and he is working on a doctorate in Instructional Systems and Technology at University of Minnesota. Tim puts a lot of great stuff on his blog on at least a weekly basis, generally sometimes daily. Keeps up on things pretty well. But I've really been interested and fascinated with his podcast as well. And about 2 weeks ago, about 12 days ago, he posted a podcast that he did with Tim Lauer and Will Richardson. It was moderated by Steve Burt from Clarity Innovations. And they did kind of a Gilmore Gang type of podcast, and I thought that was fantastic. It was one of the best podcasts I've listened to in a long time, I thought. And it actually made me start thinking along the lines of the last item that I want to cover here tonight. But check out Tim's stuff, both the blog and the podcast, at technosavvy.org. technosavvy.org. Anyway, the idea that kind of kicked around in my head, or kicked off in my head, and I've been kicking around for a couple weeks, and I posted it on the blog a little earlier today, but I'm getting a little lonely here talking by myself. So what I would like to do is I would like to invite anyone out there who would be interested to contact me and basically volunteer to be a co-host for the podcast. I'm not looking necessarily for a permanent co-host at this time, but what I am looking for is just a variety. I'm not quite sure if I want to do it every show yet, or maybe every other show. I intend to get back on a weekly schedule now that school's pretty much back in. But I'd like to have somebody to talk to, and maybe have you hear a little banter rather than just my rants all the time. So if you would be interested in either a one-shot or maybe an alternating guest host role on the Educational Mac, please send me a message at kdumont@mac.com or theeducationalmac@gmail.com, and we'll get together. We'll plan on doing it using either iChat or Skype. Either one, whatever tends to work best, give it the best sound. I've done a little bit of this with both, and unfortunately, quite honestly, Skype seems to sound just a little bit better, but I'd rather do it in iChat if I can get it to work out, if we can get the sound working well. So again, if you'd be interested in that, drop me a line and get a schedule put together. And I don't know, it may turn into something where I may want to make it a permanent thing, maybe a set of rotating co-hosts, or may settle on one or two or something. I don't know. But if you'd be interested in that, either just a one-time gig or maybe even a semi-permanent gig with the Educational Mac, drop me a line. I'd like to get that going in the next week or two. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for the evening. School year has started. We've got our instructional support technicians trying to get 3 new buildings open by Monday, and have them operating technology-wise, being fully functional. Of course, in the middle of that, we've got all our PC friends screaming for virus help. Poor guys, my hat's off to them. Have a lot of respect for those guys in our district, and appreciate the service they give, because I don't think they get recognized for it often enough. So for all of you that perform that same task out there anywhere, I do salute you, because you put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, and probably, I'm sure you don't get recognized much for it, and probably not paid enough for it either. So again, thanks. And with that, we'll go ahead and sign off. Plan on doing a show next week, either by myself or maybe with a co-host. We'll see. In either case, we'll see you in a few.